Ryan Theriault on this Labor Day weekend. From Theriault Booth knows everything about workers' compensation. It meets the theme this week. Ryan, how you doing, my friend?
Doing well, John. How are you?
Oh, good. Happy Labor Day weekend. Thanks for giving us a little of your time. And on a Labor Day weekend, it's always nice to appreciate some of the benefits that we have that were fought for very hard by many other men and women centuries ago to get where we are now. And I imagine you feel that in the workers' comp sphere, that we even have systems like this that ultimately will help workers if people know how to use them correctly, these mechanisms.
Well, that's absolutely right. These laws that are in place to protect those that are in the service of others in the event they get injured are perhaps some of the most important when you look at labor laws.
I imagine in the 1890s or early 1900s, if you got hurt at work, there wasn't a way your boss was going to help you out. I mean, that had to be very rare.
You had to have certainly a benevolent boss. Workers' compensation history is very, very it goes back way in time. Many are surprised to know that. You look at the earliest civilizations, Mesopotamia, Sumeria. Workers' compensation laws included in the Code of Hammurabi, 2,000 years.
You kidding me?
Before BC, 2,000 years BC, 1750 BC.
That's
mentions and references in the code to specific compensation for injuries to body parts. Now, of course, in those times, people were in the businesses of pottery and clothes making and probably farming, but it goes back quite a ways and eventually spread throughout Europe and ultimately made its way to the United States and serves as the workers' protection it does today.
It's amazing that that's how it was 2,000 years ago, but I can guarantee that during the Industrial Revolution, we lost sight of a lot of those laws, didn't we?
We did, and the professor referenced earlier a couple of ties to Chicago, some violent labor disputes in the late 1800s, and eventually it led to the passage of a workers' compensation law in Illinois in 1911-1912. So even though we've been a state since 1818, it took till 1912 to have some order of protection for injured workers in our state.
Finish your thought.
Chicago has an interesting history, too, just much as it does in the labor law arena. There was a tremendous coal mine disaster in Cherry, Illinois, out in Bureau County in 1909, along with a really, really horrible factory fire in New York City. And those two events kind of led to the labor community getting together and saying, we need to do something now. We lost hundreds and hundreds of people in both, 259, I believe, in the coal mine, 130 women and 25 men in the fires in New York City. We have to do something, and now is the time. So there's a conference held in Chicago in 1910 to kind of put some uniformity around this, and ultimately it sprang up.
Yeah. You're referring to the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire, I assume, right?
That is right. Correct.
I think a lot of people probably remember that from their history books, but basically doors locked from the outside, no way out, a fire breaks loose, and that's essentially what ended up happening. 146 people dying in that fire, and you mentioned one closer to home, too. Okay, so we now have workers' comp. Can you broadly, I know it's changed over the years, can you just kind of broadly explain, like, how this works? This isn't adjudicated through the civil or the criminal justice system. How does it work in Illinois, broadly speaking?
In general, workers' compensation provides injured workers with benefits to be in a more swift manner than if a lawsuit was filed. 100 years ago, when the grand bargain was made, injured workers got some swift benefits paid to them, and employers received immunity from lawsuits. So as much as it's called the Injured Illinois Workers' Compensation Act and protects injured workers, probably could have easily been called the Illinois Limited Liability for Employers Act as well. However, in that regard, you have a scenario that provides three basic benefits to people. Number one is their medical bills paid with an employee-chosen doctor. That's number one. Number two is pay for your time off while you're restricted by a doctor. And third is a settlement if you have permanent injury or you can't return to your job as the result of this unfortunate work accident.
And
those are the three broad categories, and then there's permutations of benefits throughout there.
Right. So this isn't John Hansen versus, trying to think of an old place I worked at, whatever company. This isn't me saying I got hurt, it's your fault, or it happened under the realm of just general work, and I need you to pay me $6,000 or $60,000 or whatever it is. This is going into a different system where the company isn't held liable. I'm not suing them, but I'm getting a settlement that probably, I imagine, correct me if I'm wrong, comes out of a fund that is paid for by all the companies that pay for workers' comp insurance. It's paid by the insurance.
Yep, they have a choice. They either can self-insure if they choose that path, or they can obtain an insurance product if they choose that path. But you're absolutely right. There is no plaintiff. There is no defendant. We have a petitioner petitioning for benefits in the Illinois Workers' Compensation Commission and a respondent, the employer, responding to this petition for benefits. So it's not very different than, you know, if you go get an MRI through your group health plan through your employer, the insurance pays it, and oftentimes that's the case here with workers' comp. Sometimes there's scenarios where the employer chose not to obtain insurance, and it gets a little messy in that regard. But generally speaking, this is not a fault-based system. We don't have to prove fault. It's not a a negligence-based system. It's not in the circuit court. It's not a lawsuit.
Does the mistake have to be something that was for you to get workers' comp, to be something that you that something that the boss did wrong, or they set up a circumstance in which you were going to get hurt no matter what? Or can it be something that where you might have made a mistake, but it was in the normal realm of you doing your job? Do you kind of understand what I'm asking?
I do, and both are compensable. Just because you may have done something to contribute to your injury or accident doesn't eliminate the possibility for you to receive workers' compensation insurance. People do dangerous jobs. Injuries happen during the course of normal events on construction sites, in police context, fire, nurses, whomever it might be. This system is here to make certain that they get the medical care they need, the pay while they're off work, and the compensation if they are unable to return to work.
I was listening and reading an interesting piece, I believe it was in the New York Times, about how climate change affects so many outdoor workers and how temperatures lead to more mistakes outside, and how there's a vast difference in how many mistakes are made between 95 degrees and 100 degrees. It's almost insane that like five times as many mistakes happen just over those 5 degrees, because our bodies simply are not built for that outdoor work. And you might say, well, it was a mistake. It's that person's fault. But I would say it's the nature of the job that contributes to it. And workers' compensation in general takes the latter. It just says this is part of your work, part of the risk that the employers have put on you, and you're going to get paid if there's something that happens.
I agree. We see that same heat exposure issue in factory settings as well, where in the summers they can, you know, get significantly over 100 degrees in certain factory settings, and people have problems associated with that, be it heat stroke, cardiac events, or whatever it might be. And you're right. This is a prong of benefits that's available to workers in Illinois, much like you'd have health insurance or dental insurance. Workers' comp insurance is carried by the employer, or should be, to make certain that these injured workers are taken care of.
For sure. All right, Ryan Therrell, I'm going to put you on hold. We're going to dive into some more questions I have. And if anyone has a question right now, you can get it in 312-981-7200. If we don't get to it by 2 o'clock, fear not, because Ryan is coming back next week on the program where we can dive in a little deeper. But it is Labor Day weekend, so I wanted to bring our labor people on. Got some great comments, by the way, on favorite jobs. I'll let Ryan think of his, too, during the break. 312 says, my favorite job was working at an outdoor music theater, the World Music Theater, in the concession stands. I saw every band from 1991 through 1998. The 309 says, I opened a bake shop every morning. Free donuts and coffee. Love it. 708, my favorite job, working on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange for 14 years. My least favorite job, working at blank. I'm not going to say it. A big box. That's all I'll say. 149, thank you, me, on WGN. More with Ryan Therrell in a moment. Penny, your first job, what was it?
Oh, hi. I can't expect you to remember this, so I can't start out with, do you remember the old switchboards where you pulled the cord out and you know, you saw the operator with all those
switchboards? I've seen it in the movies, Penny.
There you go. That was my first job.
That's awesome. Did you like it?
It was. I loved it. And then those silly old automatic phones came in, and that was the end of that.
I wish I opened up a receiver and got to talk to someone. That'd be way more personable. Like, pardon me, would you mind connecting me with so-and-so?
Yes, yes, I remember. Everybody in the office was so excited because they were going to get a phone on their desk that the call came in and a button lit up and they could hit the button and answer their own phone.
Did you Did anyone, not you, I know you would never do this, do you ever know any of switchboard operators that listened into conversations they weren't supposed to? Not you. I know you wouldn't.
Well, actually, once you connected them, I don't think you could.
Oh, okay, good.
You did disconnect, yeah.
Okay.
But I'm sure there was a way. I remember when I was a young girl, the lady upstairs from us, we were on a shared line. And I used to get, when I was a teenager, I'd say, I can hear you, Mrs. Clausen. I can hear your breathing on the phone. She probably was not on the phone listening to my stupid teenage conversation. But
anyway, swore she was. Yeah, there you go.
I swore she was. She wanted to know all my secrets.
Oh, that's great. Penny, thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Thank you. It was a great topic. Bye, love.
Thank you very much. Keep on calling in, 312-981-7200. Ryan Theriault, I know Theriault Booth is your favorite job ever because you get to help so many people, and people can reach you at tbfirm.com. But, Ryan, do you have, like, a favorite job that you had one summer or something you want to give a shout-out to?
You know, somebody took my answer, I think. The best job I've had is being a husband and father, of course, but I will tell you, second to that, bartending in college wasn't so bad either.
I bet. Now, I'll ask you a question similar to Penny. I know you would never do this, but did any of your coworkers favor or give free drinks or discounted drinks to when their friends came in?
Yes.
Yes.
it happened. I witnessed it.
Yes, exactly. Never firsthand. Just, you know, you saw it off on the corner. Okay.
Correct.
So we've been
to mine.
Yeah. We've been talking about workers' compensation, and someone brought up a good point, and I just wanted to lay this out, that we were talking about if you're at some fault or you make a mistake at work, you can still be covered by workers' comp. Someone wondered, like, do they do drug tests or alcohol tests if it is extremely your fault and you are inebriated or breaking the rules? Are there some thresholds where a company is absolved or, excuse me, the insurance is absolved of paying because you are simply completely negligent?
That's a great question, and that answer has changed over time. Under the current situation we live in Illinois, if you are intoxicated or under the use of some substance and you're injured, the employer can't escape and the insurance company can avoid paying a claim. Now, there's ways to rebut that presumption in the event that the intoxication had nothing to do with the incident. Let's say you're merely, you're intoxicated at work and something fell on your head from above you didn't see. So you'd still be entitled to benefits in that case, but yes, in a lot of circumstances, that would take you out of the workers' comp scope.
Well, you know what's interesting about that is this new world we live in where in many states, you know, cannabis use is completely legal. THC can be tested in the body weeks later, even if it was legitimately done on the weekend with your friends legally. And is that playing a role in workers' comp cases? Have you seen that be an issue with anybody?
Still emerging area. We don't run into that very often because most people don't go to work intoxicated or
right.
Still suffering the effects. So it's still an emerging issue, and I'm sure that would be a body of law that changes as we go forward.
Yeah, and I don't even mean that they go to work high. I mean that they did it over the weekend legally, but the drug that the chemical component can live inside your body longer, you test positive. We see this with driving under the influence or whatever, the idea being that it was 5 days later. It had nothing to do with what you're doing in that moment. Anyways, I'm sure that'll
what happens,
go ahead.
In those circumstances, it's a rebuttable presumption. So the employer can say, we don't have to pay benefits. You were under the influence of some substance, and then we can provide evidence that it was remote in time or completely unrelated to the employment or, in fact, didn't occur, whatever that might be. So there are opportunities to rebut that evidence and take those things into consideration.
All right, if someone is listening now and they're like, you know, something did kind of happen at work and I am feeling this pain, maybe it didn't appear too bad at first, but it's getting worse. Time is kind of the essence. There is a time element to this, right?
There is. You need to notify your employer of a work accident, number one, generally within 45 days of that accident occurring in the workplace. And then you want to contact your doctor. You want to contact your doctor and you want to tell them what happened at work and what might have triggered your issue, no matter how long it's been since the work accident. So there is absolutely a time element.
And when do they call you?
We ask that question routinely, and I always like to tell people, call us at the beginning of the injury. Call us when the accident happens. We can guide you. Do we have to jump in on every case? No. We often can help people navigate if necessary without the assistance of an attorney. But an attorney is important. And in fact, in Illinois, if you choose to settle your case at the end of the claim and close the claim out, you can't do so without a lawyer. So you're either getting your own counsel or alternatively The employer's attorney will represent both the injured worker and the company. So it's important to consult with somebody thoroughly, make sure there's no missteps, and to make sure your rights are protected. That's what it's about. Make sure you get to go to the doctors you want to go to.
I want to just hammer that last point you made, that there will be a lawyer involved at the end with the settlement, no matter what. That is the law. If you don't have Theriault Booth or another person representing you, you get the lawyer that is also representing the company. I heard that correctly, right?
You did hear that correctly. The cases are heard in the Illinois Workers' Compensation Commission, and that's not unless a contract is signed and settled in that body. A contract outside of that says I settle my case for $5 is ineffective and doesn't have any impact. So yes, you're absolutely correct.
And this is a long way of saying, maybe it's a short way, have someone on your side that isn't also at the same time on the company side. They may be great lawyers who are doing their best, and I'm sure there's many of them that are, but I would want someone on my side exclusively. Those are my 2 cents, Ryan. We're out of time today, but you're coming next week, yeah?
We will be back, yeah.
The whole crew?
Happy to answer any questions. The whole crew.
All right, good. Your brother will be there, and we got the Booth in there as well. We got everybody coming next week. Theriault Booth, they're a great group of guys. They do a lot of important work. They do a lot for first responders, too. They're just good people that are looking out for you. 630-526-4242. Is that the number you want people calling, Ryan?
That's great. Anytime they can reach out, hit us up on our website at tvfirm.com. However we can help, we're always willing to.
Yeah, and just talk through it with someone, right? That's never a problem. 630-526-4242, tbfirm.com. Ryan, see you next week, okay, my friend?
We'll talk to you then, John. Thanks.